This episode is brought to you by Rocky Mountain PBS and 104.7 The Drop. Because The Drop aims to inspire people towards deeper, more meaningful connections with their community through the celebration of urban alternative music, arts, and culture. They're all about creating a unique sound that's locally rooted with global reach. From the morning mix block to new music discovery or to hear your favorite current or throwback hip-hop and urban alternative, 104.7 The Drop has something for everyone. You can listen online or via the Drop 303 app anytime, anywhere. Or if you're in the Denver area, you can catch 104.7 The Drop on air. Today on CityCast Denver. Juneteenth is this weekend, and the party is on in Five Points this Saturday and Sunday. Our team is taking a long weekend to celebrate, so we're sharing our Juneteenth episode from last year when our former producer, Xandra McMahon, walked up and down Welton Street with one of the Juneteenth Music Festival's organizers, Norman Harris, as he prepared for the big weekend. For details on this year's celebrations, I'll drop some links in our show notes, and I'll be back in your podcast feed Tuesday morning. In the meantime, happy Juneteenth. Today is Friday, June 17th, 2022. I'm Bree Davies, and this is CityCast Denver.
Are you familiar with the neighborhood?
No, not really.
So that building my grandfather developed in 1980.
Oh, wow.
Yep. That building right there, really, when we started organizing Juneteenth Music Festival in 2012, that was like where we started. That was our home base. That was our office. We started conducting all of our meetings there. And it was great because Grandpa was there. He was always able to weigh in on certain things. He really, you know, probably got to see the genesis of Juneteenth starting here. So one of the big things I can remember him really pressing on that I didn't really understand the importance of was the Juneteenth parade. And you know, I think when we first started organizing Juneteenth, we were really just focused on just trying to have a big concert, make sure, you know, we had a big turnout. It was kind of like the big shiny things that, you know, might be attractive to folks. But he really, I got a video of it, he really impressed how important the parade was, who led the parade. That's a little story on that, like million and one stories on that building. But it's cool how just having that space there, having access to the space, gave Juneteenth just a little bit of what it needs, just a place for us to meet and to build upon our ideas. You know, it was some of the most memorable times I had organizing the festival. Was it really very humbly started, organized and started in that office.
Wow. Yeah, that's incredible, because, you know, you look at it, you're like, oh, it's a building, but it's so much more than a building. Yeah. It shows you the importance of, like, having spaces for people to gather and what can come out of that.
Yeah, so if you know the story of Five Points, is like redlining was an issue, and so, like, a lot of the reasons why a lot of these properties are in the state that they're in right now is because a lot of the property owners down here were blocked access to capital to be able to improve the properties and the businesses and whatnot. So
right now we're walking down, what are we walking down? Welton?
We're on Welton, we're on 25th and Welton.
Is this the parade route?
No, so the parade route goes down 26th Avenue from Gilpin Street to Welton Street.
Okay.
So it starts at Manual High School is where the parade starts.
And where are the vendors going to be located? Are they going to be up and down here?
Located at, we have 140 vendors and counting. I think my partner Chris was actually signing someone up when we ran. We have 140 counting. So I believe right now we're like here from 24th and Welton, we've got vendors pretty much lined up all the way down to 29th.
Oh, dang. So it's clear that your roots with this Juneteenth festival are deep, you know? Like, this was kind of your family's baby, right?
Yeah, it's like a, It's my baby. It's like a teenager now, like 10 years old, Juneteenth Music Festival.
But that doesn't count as doing the park. It doesn't have to be like...
Yeah, he said on the fence somewhere. Multitask.
Yeah, we're getting some tasks done. Tell me, you know, what has it been like to, now that it's in its 10th year, what has it been like to watch it grow into this event that is attracting 140-plus vendors?
It's been great to watch it grow. It's certainly been an uphill challenge, and I think it's something that reflects a lot of folks' hard work. We certainly didn't get here on our own, and there were a lot of people who helped Juneteenth prior to our efforts. And so it's very exciting to see so many people who are recognizing it and understanding what it means, where I don't think we had that type of awareness in the past.
Yeah, well, and this is the first year that the city of Denver is making it an official holiday, right?
Well, it's always been a holiday,
right,
for me.
Right, of course.
But we're very thankful for the leadership of Mayor Michael Hancock and Councilman Christopher Herndon for seeing the value in making Juneteenth a commemorative holiday here. On top of that, we got a unanimous vote from City Council. And so now it's up to us, the people, to push, to continue to push it. And I think, you know, the celebration is a big part, but not the only thing. We've got a lot of work. You know, we need to look at getting Juneteenth in school curriculums. We need Juneteenth museum exhibits, right, when we start talking about slavery. And what the residual effects of slavery have been are some of the things that are manifesting in our society, and these disproportionate effects that, you know, that Black folks experience, you know, that are much different than any other populations.
Yeah, yeah. I was reading somewhere that there was, I don't know, more, or like a renewed emphasis on like partnering with Pride this year.
Yeah, so we are, you know, the good folks over at Pride changed their date this year. And so normally Pride, for the last 20, 30 years, as long as I can remember, Pride Fest has been happening on the same weekend as Juneteenth, which presents, you know, conflict for quite a few folks. But even beyond all that, what we're really trying to address is how we can be more supportive of our efforts to address social justice and justice issues. And many of the issues that plague and affect Black communities affect all communities. We do ourselves a disservice by putting ourselves in silos, and it diminishes the amount of people that we have. You ever heard, like, you know, power to the people and the strength in numbers? And so there's so many things that push us to say, you know, we should be in this group, we should be in this group, and this should go over here. It doesn't work like that. Like, we need to find where our commonalities are to address a lot of the social issues that we have. Mm-hmm. And so if we can use a community event that has such a precedence like Juneteenth as a foundation for folks to come together and have fun, but also know why they're coming together, then I think we're really moving some big needles. And that's like one of the big things of why this is important. So.
Yeah. All right, where should we go to next?
How about we walk to the Five Points Plaza?
Sounds good.
I can like cool down.
Yeah, oh yeah.
One thing we're doing differently, not necessarily differently, but we're making sure that we're changing up the flow of the festival a little bit this year. And so like right now we're walking on 25th in between California and Welton Street.
Yeah.
And so there's, you know, several side streets that we're actually going to activate with food trucks and DJs and seating to promote just an area where people can actually safely consume, bring their kids, and play games and whatnot. We have some wonderful food vendors that are a part of it, and just the whole culinary experience at Juneteenth is phenomenal. I'd say, like, bring a hearty appetite, because we've got, like, some really cool exhibitors in the food space. The Jamaican Reggae Pot Express is another one that's, you know, you're not gonna just go to a drive-in and find, you know, most of the type of food that we serve.
Oh, that's you.
You think it looks like me?
Yeah, I could see the resemblance. Do you like it?
Wait, I'm sorry. What are we looking at?
They painted a mural of me.
Oh, that.
Showing me. This is my first time seeing it. You drew this?
Great job.
Hold on, man.
Work in progress. We love it. Love it.
They said it was supposed to be a surprise for you.
Well, he's here so often, it's hard to surprise. Yeah, it is. The age of social media.
Oh, man, this is sweet. I really appreciate it. You know how I feel, like, I appreciate it. I'm just kind of feeling weird, man. Like,
I love that they did the chalkboard, because you were just talking about how Juneteenth needs to be in textbooks. It needs to be taught in schools and stuff. So have you ever had a mural done of you before?
No. My goal was to buy a building down here, buy my grandfather's building back, and that was going to be the first mural I put up was his.
Ooh, all right, well.
Yeah, it's a hot damn well.
Yeah, we can wrap this up. So
yeah, let's go in the brewery.
Sure.
Yeah, drink a beer?
Yeah.
Get you drink a beer on the job?
Yeah.
That's all
it's fine. Drink. We're just podcasters. Yeah, we can drink like beer.
Hey!
Oh, you got special Juneteenth? That's cool.
Really good.
Please. We have a special brew. My good friend Darren, owner of Spangalang Brewery, they've been supporting our efforts down here since they moved into this place, the old DMV. They've helped us batch beer. You see, this year they've created a special brew. It's General Gordon Granger's IPA order number 3. Okay, so we were talking about you needing someone to get a history lesson. What we're hoping someone to do is like look at this and say, well, who is General Gordon Granger? Right? And he is the guy who delivered the word of freedom to the folks in Galveston, Texas. He was the army, the general. So Spangalang and the team got together and we're like, how could we come up with a concept that was authentic but also honorable to just Juneteenth? And this is what we came up with. So buying this beer here supports Juneteenth, supports a small business that's been supporting us for the last 6 or 7 years.
That's amazing.
I think 100% of our country needs to know about this. Probably 100% of our country knows who the first president is. 100% of our country knows who the last president was, for sure. Right?
Yeah.
And so we need to start learning about all these things that like really make up our identity.
That's all for today here on CityCast Denver. Our producers this week were Paul Caroli and Andrea Salenzi. Peyton Garcia writes and edits our morning newsletter. Our music is by Los Mogochetes, with additional mixing by Tyler Lindgren. If you haven't already, subscribe and rate us 5 stars wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at CityCastDenver and tell a friend about us next time you see them. You can sign up for our daily newsletter and learn more about us at denver.citycast.fm. Bye-bye. Nodding her.
Hear your voice in my head.
And now you're seeing it. I'm real. Okay.